Hello and welcome to this podcast that I think is, if I remember correctly, it's called the Hooniverse Podcast. It's been a bit.
Vaguely familiar.
This is episode 365. I do know that. 365 Mafia. No, don't have a joke lined up. I'm your host, Jeff Glucker. That is the voice of Ron Ball. Ron, how are you?
Hey, I'm all right. Just fucking experiencing the typical technical difficulties that are frustrating and start me off on a sour note, but I'm trying to get past that and have fun.
Oh, that's so good. How's life been? It's been a couple weeks.
Man, shit's been fucking crazy. A couple weeks? I can't remember the last time we did this. You have to go back and look at the last time. I had to remove the podcast app from my phone, like the Apple Podcast app, because it would just literally, like, in the middle of whatever media I was playing, whether it's fucking SoundCloud, fucking Spotify, Apple Music, it would just interrupt and start playing podcasts. And that isn't the worst thing, except that the podcast app would be closed, so I couldn't close it, so I couldn't turn it off or stop it. And half the time it was our podcast, so I'd hear my own voice and be like, ah, like in the car, just like, stop. I'd have to turn my phone off. Like, so, yeah, I have no idea how long it's been, man, but glad to be back in the saddle.
I just checked, and the last one, according to when I published it on Hooniverse.com, was May 15th. Whoops-a-daisy.
So it's been more than a month, but
we've been busy.
You've been busy. I've made use of my time.
You've been busy too.
In your absence, you've been doing big things.
I've been doing things, but we'll get into that in a minute. First, this is a car podcast. Actually, before we get to that, are you drinking anything this evening?
You know this, man. Bullet bourbon. What do you got?
I got a Pliny the Elder because I'm a fancy lad.
There you go. That looks like the same bottle as, what was that you brought me lunch?
Yeah, Main Beer Company lunch. I had one of those the last weekend. Yes, good memory. Mm-hmm. So it is the same bottle shape too. Also good memory on that. First up, car stuff. Pikes Peak International Hill Climb 101st running. Mm-hmm. Some cool shit happened on the mountain. They got really good weather.
Yeah.
Which is great. That's always good to see. I was sitting talking with our friend Johnny Lieberman, like as qualifying was going on. I'm like, do you miss not being there? He's like, at first, no. And now, yes. Like, of course. Seeing the weather, you know.
Especially after competing last year, he's got to have mad FOMO.
Yes. I believe he did. Nothing like crazy bad happened. The craziest thing that was bad that happened, but the driver walked away. The F1. Bad. Oh my God.
Scotty Birdsall, Chuckles Garage.
Fucking wow.
Smoky F100. Yeah, dude.
Not even an F100. It's old enough that it's an F1.
Oh, is it really? It's
older than F100. F1. Because it's from like that. 49.
Yeah. It's an iconic fucking vehicle, man. You know, it's been featured everywhere. He's raced it. He previously set the diesel-powered record for Pikes Peak. So
yep.
I think Aaron, what's-his-face, drove it last year when Scotty drove, like, some fucking hybrid, like, open-wheel thing, right?
Oh, like Aaron, like the Gas Monkey.
From Gas Monkey, guy? Dude. Fuck, what's his name? Arclight on Instagram, but sorry, I can't remember his last name right now, but... Yeah, man, that fucking truck has seen and done it all and unfortunately met its demise on I heard was like one of the last corners. Like, it was
was. I read his post and he came into the corner and the brake pedal went to the firewall with no resistance, which is terrifying. Like, I've been in cars where you've been like, oh my God, I'm losing brakes, but you still have pump. Press it to the floor. There's something happening there. Have it go to the firewall with no resistance as you're barreling into a corner
in an
old fucking truck. Oh my God. He said it flew like 175 feet down the mountain.
Rolled eight or nine times and looked like it.
He got out and like climbed up out of the snow because there's still snow at the top of the mountain. And the medics checked him out. They're like, yeah, you're fine.
Yeah, it's wild.
It's wild. So it's worth it to spend money on cages. it's worth it to spend money on helmets and Hans devices and race suits and all that.
100%.
All of it. Spend the money. That crash was
cheap out on that shit. I haven't seen any footage. I don't know if they have any. Now's a good time to mention, you know, sorry to whoever this offends or whoever this applies to, but the live stream of Pike's Peak was absolute fucking garbage. It was like impossible. Wasn't it garbage
last year too?
I don't know. I don't remember like trying to really watch, but this year I really wanted to see a few things, and like I woke up early and I think like I saw like Zort, you know, I saw his entire run, but like the footage was interrupted. It was shoddy. Like there was some like still shots that, you know, you could catch a couple corners. They had a couple of helicopter shots, but like, you know, it was inconsistent. And like the guys, I don't know who the hosts were, but like them talking over everything. And like again, sorry to whoever this offends, but like they brought in somebody that was like with some sort of ministry. So they're talking about Jesus Christ while fucking Zort's running. And I'm like, Zort is the Jesus Christ of Pike's Peak. Like this is who we need to be. Who we need to be praising this Sunday.
Right.
And like, it was just like an afterthought. It was like, okay. And Jeff Zort crosses. And I think he finished like second in his class to Tanner Faust in the Radford, but it was just like, there was no like hullabaloo. Like there was no celebration. There just wasn't much enthusiasm. And to my point, I was talking to Vin from Hoonigan, my garage mate, on Sunday. We met in the garage and we were talking about shit. And he was like, oh yeah, I heard Scotty, crash like on the last corner, but you know, it wasn't a big deal. It was just like, you know, like everybody minimized everything about the event, including that crash. So it wasn't until Scotty posted, I think on Monday, that we kind of realized like the severity of the incident and like how, you know, dangerous and scary it was, because like they just didn't have coverage of a lot of the mountain.
Yeah, I feel like last year it was Jared, I feel like, was one of the hosts. Wasn't there a year where Farah was a host too? Like one year?
I don't know if they hosted. I think they hosted. I think it was last year, and they hosted their podcast from there. Like,
is that what it was? I thought they were.
Yeah, I don't think they did the live stream, but I could be mistaken. I don't really remember.
I will give Pike's Peak some level of like, hey, I know it's going to be really hard to cover.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
But.
If you're going to do it, fucking do it.
Yeah, if you're going to do it, you got to do it. Right.
Yeah.
Now, in other news on the mountain, Robin Shute was the overall winner. And then Romain Dumas won his class in that electric Ford van.
The Ford super van, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't realize it was electric. I didn't know anything about it.
Oh, 100% electric. And it ran a siren, like a European siren, because it was the Ford Performance Europe, basically. Tanner won his class. Someone said it should use an ice cream siren, which would actually be hilarious.
Yeah, that'd be funny. I bet this gotta be annoying as fuck for him. Oh,
in the car? I wonder if he's like so in it that you can't even hear it, you know? I wonder if it disappears into the background.
He's got like easy listening playing and
or like noise canceling headphones. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. elevator music. Yeah. Tanner won his class in the Radford,
right?
Which is great. And then the real big news, though, I think too. So Lucy Block, Ken's wife, drove up in some kind of like cart type car.
Yeah, I think it was what do they call those? I'll remember in a minute. But yeah,
I don't think it was a cross cart, but it was like
no,
something different. And she was in number 430, which is cool.
That's cool.
And then to close the day, Leah drove the Hoonapigasus, which didn't make it up the hill last year. It was Ken's desire. And she drove it up untimed. And from what I hear, the entire mountain was basically fucking bawling.
It sounded like she was at least 75-80% in throttle on every clip that I saw.
Right. I saw Batim, you know, emotional. Lucy, emotional. I watched the clip, you know, you can't help but feel a little choked up at the moment. And
totally.
it was a hell of a thing.
So Lucy drove a Sierra cart.
Yeah, Sierra cart. That's what it is, right?
Yeah. She was there at the finish line when Leah crossed.
Yeah.
Again, super emotional and deservedly so.
Leah, I wouldn't be surprised if Leah's back in the driver's seat of that thing next year, like in competition. Cause she currently is just driving the wheels of everything she gets her hands on, and it's fucking awesome to see. She is crushing it in rally, right? In two-wheel drive rally.
Rear-wheel drive rally.
She's beating some of the four-wheel drive cars. Brendan Semenuk is running away with rally right now, which is amazing because he's my favorite mountain biker, oddly enough. He's a pro mountain biker, and he's like the best. And then now he's also just like super fucking sick at rally too, which is awesome to see. But Leah is doing amazing in the American rally scene right now. So it's so cool. Like the team, they're not called Hoonigan Racing Division anymore, but there is still a team.
It's Blockhouse Racing.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're out there. They're doing it.
Yeah.
Which
is it's a lot of the guys from HRE.
It's still Derek Dauncey. Yeah. One of the guys who helped us on, which I'll go into more later on this episode, but, on the TV show episode two, Johnny just called, his nickname is like Soft Shackle. This dude's like 6'8". And I'm like, oh, you know, what else do you do? He's like, oh, I support Hoonigan Racing Division. I'm like, oh yeah. He's like, no, but I'm still now we have another team and I'm doing wheels and tires and all. And like, I was like, oh shit, man, good for you.
What the fuck is Soft Shackle? I don't.
Soft shackle is like an off-road term. It's like it's like recovery gear.
Oh, okay.
but that was just like his nickname, I guess. And he was like a super nice dude who's also happened to be like 6'8", so he looked like a fucking monster out there. So Pikes Peak seemed like it was beautiful on the hill thanks to the weather. And
do you have a favorite oddball competitor?
I'm happy that Tanner won his class in the Radford. I think the super van is like the whole concept of it is fucking awesome. You know, I like that. Otherwise, I like that there was a dude running like an OG Audi Quattro. Mm-hmm. Some dude showed up from Japan in like an EK or an EG Civic that he like road races that That's he shipped it. On his own money. Never practiced it before. It was like, I always wanted to run Pikes and he did it.
Did it have crazy like time attack arrow?
No. It just looked like a road racing Civic.
That's sick.
Yeah.
I have to admit my favorite is the, I think it's like a 96 Bronco. I mean, it's basically just a shell. It's a tube frame fucking thing, but it's basically just a fucking 96 Bronco with a big ass splitter and a humongous wing.
I didn't see that.
I think it sounds like it's got NASCAR power, like short stroke, fucking big inch V8. But that thing is just a riot to see on the mountain. And I think he competed last year or the year before. It's not the first year that I've seen it, but I think the guy's name is something Ford, like Tommy Ford or some shit like that. Yeah, randomly. But that thing fucking rips.
There were a couple of like 90s era looking either like dirt track or NASCAR grade style looking cars that were pretty cool to see on the hill.
Uh-huh.
And then I think, you know, Zwart's 935 is always bad. Like the livery on it, the way the Mobile Pegasus extended onto the wing looked really good.
That's sick.
And he's just a champion on that mountain. So yeah, no, it was all good. It was a good Pikes Peak this year from all accounts. We have a photographer, Stuart Cross, who's shot it for us for the last few years. And you can go see the pictures on Hooniverse.com. He always does an awesome job. He put up a gallery. There's some good shots in there. There's a shot of Romain Dumas with his hand up blocking the sun, which is just the coolest shit because it's, you know, the old there's a shot of Ken doing it in one of the things, but it goes back to Ari Vatanen in Climb Dance in the 80s.
An
iconic shot of him when the mountain was dirt, putting the hand up to block the sun. So like, I feel like everybody who goes up the hill, they want that photo. Like it was a point to do it in Ken's video. And then our photographer Stuart just happened to catch Romain Dumas doing it to block the sun in the super van.
That's cool. That's
pretty cool. Yeah. Now switching back to home stuff.
Real quick, the Bronco is called Bronxilla, and it was driven by a dude whose last name is Ford. And it's a tube chassis thing with a 351 Windsor, so close to a NASCAR V8. But yeah, the thing fucking sick. And it looks like it's been around for a while. There's a video of maybe the same Bronco, I'm not sure, but from 1995 when it was still unpaved. So the thing's sideways slinging fucking gravel and shit. So
that's amazing.
Yeah.
Damn, I got to look into that then. That sounds awesome. All right, now you, you've been getting busy in the garage.
Yeah, man. I got over my my funk of this weather and just fucking frustration and like, you know, I made a couple attempts to like start the Mustang a few months back, and like, you know, we had like a garage day. We were all there cleaning out the garage and like, you know, organizing and trying to, you know, get projects started and shit, and just fucking nothing. Like the batteries, that I had two different batteries that didn't have a charge and like wouldn't turn the thing over. So I like successively replaced relays, patches of wiring, you know, figured out a bunch of shit and just did a bunch of research. And then once I finally got a battery that fucking would turn the fucking car over, I realized, oh, great, the fuel pump's not priming. So I don't even have fuel. Like now I've got great spark. And the car's got a new distributor. But, you know, just to recap, we're talking about my Mustang that has not run in a year and a half. Like it last ran like November, December of 2021. And I left it at Hoonigan. And, you know, much to my dismay, but not to my surprise, like all of a sudden it wouldn't start. Like they were starting it and moving it, you know, every day. But then finally, oh, your car won't start. We're just going to push the shit outside. And I was like, all right, fine, whatever. So finally we got the garage spot and I moved it over there. And it basically just sat there and unloved and, you know, just forgotten about for like the last year. So yeah, I made a commitment. I was going to buy Holley Terminator X and have my shop install that. And like, I figured that would replace basically all of the engine harness, like everything under hood. And I figured that was what I needed because the car's just got a rat's nest of wiring, you know, in the fender wells, under the hood, like the previous owner did a wire tuck.
Yeah, the fender well stuff is insane.
Yeah. And it's just ugly as hell and like impossible to sort through. But, it really got complicated when we used the car for a commercial shoot for Michigan,
oh, right.
Michelin and BFG, that for a tire that has yet to come out, that was supposed to come out last year, like third quarter or fourth quarter. And I don't know what happened to that. So anyway, like, it's like, we got none of the glory of the shoot, and basically the car was disabled during the shoot because the wheels that I put on, the American Racing wheels that I put on, are half an inch wider than what I had on it before. And they rubbed inside and rubbed through the harness and like it just shorted shit out. And I was just like, oh, great. Like I need to rewire this entire car. Well, you know, after, like I said, patching and figuring shit out little by little, basically the fuel pump was disabled. I don't know if it was something in the harness, like maybe it was a fusible link that was shorted out. The pump could have just been bad by itself, but basically I bought all new fuel pump wiring harness that actually totally bypasses the factory wiring for it, like bypasses the fuel pump relay and all of the factory harnesses and plugs and shit. So yeah, literally last night I finally got it started for the first time in a year and a half, and it was fucking glorious. I was just like, I turned the key, the fuel pump primed, and I fucking just grinned to myself. I was like, fuck yeah, like I haven't heard that in forever. And I was like, all right, here we go. Turn the key, starts up, fuck yeah, give it a little gas, dies, and I hear just fucking spray and like underneath the car. I was like, oh god, like obviously I left something undone. This is,
yeah,
that's gas.
Yeah.
So I realized that I broke the fucking retaining clip for the fuel supply line going into the fuel filter when I took it off, and I forgot to put that back on. So I snapped it on. I was just like, yeah, maybe it'll be good. Maybe it won't. But yeah, the second it gave, like it had any sort of pressure, it fucking popped off and just dumped fuel everywhere. So ran to O'Reilly's, grabbed a new retaining clip, fucking popped it back on. Yeah. I drove the car around last night.
And, oh,
I mean, just around like our complex.
Yeah, no, still.
Yeah, and
still, that's huge.
But yeah, and so, man, I'm looking forward to dialing that thing in. I need to get the cooling system figured out and make sure that I have no air pockets in that and that it's good to go. And then I'm trying to hit the street this summer, dude. At least, like now. Like, I've been complaining about the weather for months and months and months, but now I hope it stays relatively cool. I'm like 72. Perfect driving weather for this Mustang with no AC, and you know, I'm pretty thrilled to get it back out there. I need to clean it up, detail it, but man,
you're lucky that you bitched out of this weekend.
Okay.
Because I'm going to Texas.
Yeah.
Ron was also supposed to be going to Texas.
Yeah.
And it's, I think, 9 million degrees in Texas right now.
But see, I wouldn't have to drive it around. I'd be fucking fine with that. Honestly, like, I can deal with, like, I want to go to Palm Springs. Like, I can deal with, like, weekend bursts of fucking heat and humidity.
No, I can't.
Like, I live for it.
I can't. But I'm going to have fun. It's for a bachelor party. It's going to be a good time. One of the days we rented a pool. Apparently, there's, like, an Airbnb, but for pools. And
that's sick. Like,
bomb-ass pool. Another day we're doing go-karts at Coda, which will be cool.
Hell yeah.
So it'll be fun, but
I'm honestly super bummed that I can't make it. I just got too much shit going on, and I have got to get home to Atlanta to take care of some business, and I got too much going on to enjoy myself on a boys trip, unfortunately.
Yeah, no, I hear you. Okay, so that's great news about that. Nothing on the truck. Truck is...
No, hold on. Oh. Hold on. Now that I got the Mustang started, I'm able to get it out from underneath the truck. Interestingly enough, Ben just texted us, like, in our group chat today. I was just like, hey, we need to do some hero shots for Ben Pack, because Ben Pack hooked up the lifts and the speakeasy. So he's like, could we maybe get the C10? Like, I'll help. Can we, like, get it out of there? I'm like, the K10, dick, first of all. But just last week, I bought everything that I need, hopefully, fingers crossed, to get that thing started and driving again. So basically, somebody smashed the column and ripped out the ignition. So I bought a column repair kit. I bought a new ignition lock cylinder, new ignition wiring harness and plugs. So hopefully that thing will be in business next week, and I can get wheels and tires on, get the suspension, the lift kit on, and get that thing detailed and cleaned up, and maybe start driving that too.
Damn. Yeah. Okay.
I've got everything. I've had everything I need for a tune-up and just, like, a refresh, like, you know, all fluids, filters, fucking plugs, wires, you know, distributor cap, all that shit. I've been sitting on it, but, you know, there's no point in installing all that shit when the fucking thing doesn't start. So
no.
Hopefully all this column ignition stuff goes well, and I can get that thing on the road. And I don't know if I'll try and enjoy it for the summer or just fucking get rid of it, but I've had so many ideas floating about that thing recently. So it's like, I don't know, do I want to spend, you know, $5,000 and try and get an extra, I don't know, $8,000 yeah. out of it, or just fucking, you know, get it running, get it driving reliably, and fucking let it go. Like,
put it on Cars and Bids. I've heard good things.
Yeah.
Or let me drive it, because I want to drive that truck.
Yeah, okay.
I miss my truck, so I want some old truck. There's a lot of, I just need some old V8 in my life, basically.
Yeah, man.
Down to and it was funny because there was an Instagram post where I was like, Alana posted a picture doing a burnout in a car. I was like, man, I really? Need an old V8 in my life. She posted a photo of, like, the brake stand. I forget what it was, like the after shot though.
Okay I didn't see that. I feel like Alana's, like, been, like, shadow banned for me. Like, I don't see much of her posts.
She posts a lot less. I think she's just super busy.
Probably busy.
But she posted a pic the other day where it was, like, just the photo of, like, the stripe leading to the tire. And I was like, oh, I did see that old V8 in my life. And Matt Valbuena was like, he's like, dude, you just sold one. I'm like, no, older. Yeah, not the Jag, older. But I was also like, good point.
You need carburation in your life is what you're saying.
Yeah. Exactly. Flipping over to my shit. Why I've been so busy. We've alluded to it, but I can finally say it because it's out and about. I have a new television show.
I'm going to go refill, but I can hear.
I've got a new show.
I'm here. Yes, dude. Yes.
Really, really big show. Yes. So I am hosting basically the reboot of Head to Head on Motor Trend alongside Jonathan Lieberman. He doesn't like when I say that. I said it in an episode because I just finished watching, like, all of the John Wicks. So I always feel like, Jonathan, you know, the dude from the Continental. I always just want to call him Jonathan. We've got it. It's called Head to Head Drag Race. But it's more than that. The first episode is pretty heavily on that concept of pitting the cars against each other on the drag strip. But thankfully, John and I kind of break out of that mold a little bit while retaining some of that idea. So first episode is on a takes place just on a runway outside California or in California City. In California, we rented. It's cool being on a television shoot where we're renting runways and shutting down.
Hell yeah!
Yeah, it's in
big time.
And first episode is like 911 Turbo versus Lucid versus Ferrari versus more powerful Lucid. And it was fun. And then the second episode is trucks, you know, in the dirt. Raptor versus TRX versus Hummer versus Rivian. We even bring out the Lightning just to show how slow it is compared to all everything else.
I think you may have told me you were doing that, but I don't remember because it's been so long, but that's fucking sick. Yeah. That sounds like fun.
And then we just, last week we shot the third episode or the week prior up in Bakersfield. Found one of the best roads I've ever driven in California, which I will not divulge the name of because one, you don't want to drive all the way to Bakersfield, but also don't want people crowding it and ruining it.
Sure.
Johnny and I were like, he's like, was that road good? I'm like, that's one of the best roads I've ever been on, period. And he said, I agree.
Let me ask this, and hopefully it doesn't give anything away, and you don't even have to answer it, but is it an abandoned two lane that was somebody's driveway?
No. Okay. I think that's you talk about Miss Orcutt's driveway, and I think that is, I think that's pretty beat up now from what I've heard.
Yeah.
No, this is actually just a road somewhere outside Bakersfield that leads to a town with a population of probably 100 people. And we were able to shut down 2 miles of it.
That's sick.
So third episode is like GR Corolla versus Type R versus, you know, those are the two star cars. Mm-hmm. Involve the Golf R a little bit. And then on day two of that shoot, we go to another airfield. And then we're planning episode four, which will be like BMW M3 versus Kia EV6 GT. You know, just two opposite sides of the spectrum. And then
that's sick, dude. I love that you guys are doing different venues and switching it up.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm excited.
It's been fun. We've got basically 12 episodes planned out. Their marketing is a little weird where they're like promoting it for streaming right now, but it will be on TV. And then the other big play for Motor Trend right now is they're taking advantage of, they're calling it Fast TV, which is like free ad supported television. So there's these new networks that have popped up, like Freevee is one of them. Tubi is another one.
Yeah, I've seen ads for these.
Yeah, they're these like you just sign up for them and then they're free and you just have ads, but you can watch like all this shit. And so there are networks within those, and Motor Trend is going to put shows on that too. So it'll be on demand. It'll be on the Motor Trend network, and then it'll be also on these like free television networks.
Nice.
So it's a real show. We have fucking crew out there.
Anytime you're shutting down airstrips, roads, public roads, like that's big time. That's fucking.
It's pretty cool.
That's serious.
It's pretty cool because I'll tell a little bit because I think the reach of this podcast isn't big enough that I'm not going to ruin anything. So the show premieres on July 10th, which is soon. But in the very first episode, you know, it's the idea of the Johnny posits the even though like the concept. I came up with the concept for most of the episodes. and then like whoever would take the lead, it doesn't matter. Cause we each can argue the point. And Johnny argues that, so the concept for the episode is that supercars are different now. And Johnny shows up in a Lucid Air. He's like, this is a supercar. And I'm like, it's not a supercar, even though, you know, I came up with the concept. You got to play it up a little bit where I'm like, no, you know, and I show up in the 911 Turbo S. Of the four cars we drive, the 911 Turbo S is the slowest.
It's so wild.
And that is a very quick and fast car.
Yeah. It's so outrageous. It's always been like the perennial quickest supercar, like as difficult as it's called 911 supercars, like, you know, they've legitimately earned that badge. Yeah. Especially in the last 10 years, but that's
because now we have hypercars.
The fucking benchmark. Yeah, that's the benchmark. Like supercar, fucking Porsche Turbo, the quickest.
And it's
so wild.
Everything we drove was, you know, sub 3, 0 to 60. The Lucid Grand Touring Performance was wild. So then I brought in the heavy artillery in the Ferrari SF90, which was a fucking monster. And then Johnny rolls out in the Sapphire, which
it's the prototype,
basically.
It's just pre-production, yeah, okay.
Yeah, I love that they have, like, the California Bear as part of their logo. Like, I think that's super dope. I actually get the Grand Touring Performance next week as a press car, which I'm super stoked on.
I want to ride.
Dude, it'll blow your fucking mind.
I bet.
I drove it briefly during the shoot, and if you are in the market for, like, the top shelf Model S or whatever, you are an absolute idiot if you don't buy the Lucid. It's so much nicer inside.
Right.
That's
what I want to experience. I want to experience, like,
it's not just straight line though. That's the crazy thing. No, the dude,
that's what I'm saying. Like the interior, the features, the luxury, yeah. Like it seems like light years ahead of Tesla. You know?
Oh, not even that's, that though, but like actual driving dynamics. Lucid had three of their people on site. One was like their main communications guy who owns a Montero. So we were instantly best friends. And he's done like lemons and shit. So we're like homies. And then they had like one of their development guys. And then they had their dude who's in charge of vehicle driving dynamics. And he came from Jag and like all this other stuff. So like he was saying, he's like, I find it sad that every time we put these cars in video, it's just straight line stuff.
Right.
I designed these cars so they can handle too. And so these cars can actually, they can dance, you know, and it's really impressive.
What's their like suspension magic? Do they have like hydraulics, air? Like,
I didn't get into the nitty gritty of it. Just jumping behind the wheel though, and just seeing what it could do. It was just really, really impressive. Like this dude, he would like in the middle of the night, he would put in miles over Angeles Crest to like fine tune these fucking things. So like, The amount of work they put in is legit. It's a very impressive complete package of a machine. And I will say, I don't know how much I'm supposed to say or not say, but again, while we were eating lunch one day, one of the actual Motor Trend testers was doing V-Box numbers on the Sapphire. And we had enough runway to run half miles. And he was just a few ticks away from 200 miles an hour.
God damn, dude.
In the half.
Jesus Christ.
With no effort. And I asked him, I'm like, what was that like? He's like, I've been testing cars for Motor Trend for years. He's like, I've never experienced anything like it. The ground was blurring. He's like, I just don't even know how to describe it. So it's fucking incredible. Oh, the car was amazing. The second episode, though, was so much fun because with the truck stuff, we were like jumping them, sliding them. We had a dry lake bed to do drag races on.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, we were out in like we're out in Johnson Valley. So we're King of the Hammers. Yeah. We had it to ourselves. It was great.
Yeah. I mean, as much as I enjoyed being a passenger off-road with you in the Raptor R, it's still not my thing, but I have a new appreciation for going fast off-road. That excites me. Like, that's something that I haven't really seen. Like, I've seen, you know, some guys that, you know, are big in the off-road scene, like, kind of thrash the Raptors, the Bronco Raptors, Raptor Rs, but, like, actual, like, thrashing and racing on dirt production trucks, I don't know, like, I wouldn't have cared a couple years ago, but that sounds fucking rad. Like,
I'm
excited to see that.
Yeah, and I'd never driven a Rivian before this episode. And they're like, hey, we need a couple shots of it in drift mode. Can you do that? I was like, yeah, I think I can do that. And, dude, it was so good. We just picked a spot and I was looping around this bush in the middle of nowhere.
Did Johnny not champion the Rivian? Did he not bring his own truck?
No, he didn't bring his own truck. You know, the good news is when you can beat on other people's stuff. And Motor Trend has a long-term Rivian. So we used
that. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
I drove the Hummer to and from the shoot. And it was awesome because after the shoot, you know, I made sure I had enough juice to get home. And dude, driving back on the freeway, you know, at 6-7 o'clock at night, just blowing people's doors off. I'm passing people. At one point, these two like younger dudes in, I don't know, G35s or something, like when I was just kind of cruising at 80, 85, and I was in the one lane over from the passing lane. They roll up on me and then they slow down
Yeah.
And we wait, and I'm like, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. And then I just punch it. I'm just gone. And then they catch back up, and they're like doing hands out the window, thumbs up. I'm like, all right, that's all you wanted. All right, cool.
I was those kids last weekend on the, or last week on the 405. I saw the first new Hummer that I've seen that was not white. It was black.
Oh, it was probably the press truck that I drove.
No, it was already personalized. Like, it had like some vinyl, like some graphics, and like custom painted trim and shit. Like, it was all blacked out, and it looked mean as shit. And I was like, oh, that actually looks way better in all black. And you know, it's like, it's, I don't know, it was just it was slimming. Black is slimming, right? Like, it didn't look as massive as like all the white trucks that I've seen, because that's all I've ever seen driving around Orange County and shit. And I was just like those kids. Like, I was goading this dude. Like, I was like jumping in front of him. And then, like, when traffic broke, I'd get over it. I'd fucking wah, wah. And, like, he never took the bait. But I was just like, I want to see what this truck is like on the freeway. Like, you know, from like a 60 roll. We had a little bit of traffic. Then the traffic would break, and I would just burn, like, wait for him. And he just never took the bait. And I was like, man, pussy.
You remember how remember how fast you thought the Raptor R was?
Yes.
Hummer waxes it.
What? Yeah, I mean, of course. I mean, I thought the Raptor R was quick for a truck, but what I was most impressed about with the Raptor R was how it handled that canyon road.
That's true. That's a great point.
Like, it wasn't, there was like very little body roll. It wasn't all over the place. Like, you seemed very in control, and like, it just went where you wanted it to. And like, you know, it accelerated, it stopped, but I was really impressed at how, like, road holding and just how composed it was in twisties. So yeah. I don't know.
You're right.
The Hummer's the same, but
you know. No, it's not on twisties, but like it's almost more like a super grand tour. It's like an Aston Martin DB11 versus like, you know, the sharpest 911. But the one we had in the shoot was the black one, so it was great. Mm-hmm. On the episode 3 though, I drove the Civic Type R out, and I hadn't driven that yet. It's fucking great, man. It's a really, really good car.
Yeah.
I was really impressed with it. I still love the Corolla, just because it's like a rabid little rally car. But the Civic is an absolute beast. And then everybody's saying that the Acura is better. So I'm trying to get my hands on that Acura.
I mean, how different can it be? I mean,
it's got a little bit more horsepower, like, but everybody's saying it's just like there's something about it. All the reviews are like glowingly talking about how it's better.
Okay.
So, I mean, I'm like you, though. I'm like, how much better could it possibly be? Yeah. Because the Civic, though, credit where credit's due, that car is great.
Yeah.
Great. Don't pay markups, but it is great.
Right. Yeah.
I was a big fan. So, the show is exciting.
Can't wait, dude. Congratulations. I'm super excited. Obviously, I've known about this for a long time.
Right. Since before Christmas.
Right. But it's awesome to see it come into fruition. And yeah, man, I'm genuinely excited to watch. Like, even if I didn't know you guys, I would still be excited to see this, especially knowing what I know now. And, you know, the variety of the venues and the vehicles. Like, this.
Yeah. It's a really good mix of stuff. And there's some episodes that we're working on that we're just like working on securing cars where it's like potential dream car stuff for me.
I was going to ask you about that. I don't know if you can talk about it. But like, you know, SF90, the 911, like how you came about those cars, or.
I mean, we just borrowed the Porsche. You know, that was a press car. The Ferrari we borrowed. Randomly, the Ferrari came together at the last minute because Ferrari is notoriously insane about getting cars.
Right.
Yeah. There's a company called Tactical Fleet that reached out to me that they sell high-end cars. They're based in Texas and Beverly Hills and maybe like Charlotte or something. And they're like, yeah, a PR person reached out. Like, we would love for you to see their showroom and maybe just, you know, take one of their cars for an hour as like a rental car. Cause they do some rental car stuff, but it's mostly for sales. And I was like, you know, I don't want to go to LA. Like, that's always one of those pitches where I'm like, whatever. And then we're doing the show. I'm like, wait a second.
I don't want to end up in Encino, man.
No. I'm like, hey, we're doing a show. And I was pitching. I pitched my producers too. I'm like, hey, you know, this company asked about this. Would we take this car? Could we? And so I pitched it to them. I had a phone call with them. Like, we're going to use it in the show. We're going to drag race it. You guys. So we borrowed they trailered their SF90 out that is like for sale for like $900,000. Mm-hmm. And they're like, yeah, man, have fun. Great. Can't wait to see the footage. We're like, oh my God. So yeah, that was cool. But the other cars I don't want to mention yet because I don't want to give anything away. But yeah, I'll tell you when we stop. Okay. All right. So let's go to Instagram questions.
Yes, sir.
JDoublish.pick. All these RS6 Avants with roof boxes driving around. Is there anything in them? Nope.
Yeah. Corny as fuck.
Yeah. Unless you
I
see
hate
one
that shit.
In California, no. In Northern California,
maybe on the way to like.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Like in Northern California, maybe because they might go skiing. In New England, possibly during the winter, yes. But Southern California, there ain't shit in there.
Right.
I Play With Cars asks, if you or Ron were to run Pikes Peak, what would you want to drive?
I'd want all-wheel drive on my side. I don't, you know, as fun as it is to fucking brake traction and fucking swing it around, I would want something like either a new Audi RS product or an old fucking Audi like or Quattro or something like that.
I would go with what Hurley Haywood drove up the mountain as the ambassador, which is an electric Porsche, because you're not losing. I think he drove like a Taycan Turbo S or something, because you're not losing power. You're not worrying about turbos and this and that. And so electric power is the way to go now on the hill.
Sure. You know what? That reminded me. I was going to say, it'd be cool to drive like a prepped Bentayga like Reese Mellon drove, I think, a couple years ago.
Yeah.
So like the production SUV record. But did you see that the BMW XM fucking rolled like on like the first turn? Like
was it that early?
Like, first or third turn. It was so early in the race that the driver walked back to the starting line.
That sucks.
And I hear they just packed everything up and got the fuck out of there.
Yeah.
Like,
that's crazy. I Play With Cards also asks, who will be the last automaker to support NACS? So that's Tesla's charging standard. Now that GM, Ford, Rivian, and Volvo has signed on, I think the last one to support it will be either Toyota or Stellantis, because Stellantis will be like, fuck you. It's a big move for Tesla and everybody else, though, for sure.
Yeah.
Sinuay Xavier, who... if you don't follow him on Instagram, is an amazing photographer and just a really great cinematographer. He says, if my kid is bored, is it bad to give him matches and gasoline? I mean, if you're out in the middle of nowhere, have fun. I'm not going to tell you how to parent.
Don't ask me for parenting advice. Yeah.
Tony Elgins Jr. 2000s Roadster for mountain roads. More interesting than a Miata. Z3 or MR2?
I was going to say M Roadster, but Z3 then.
Give me
the two options.
I have never, and this is kind of sacrilegious, and sorry to Canadian MR2 who listens, I've never warmed up to the MR2. I never warmed up to the MR2, just like I've never warmed up
to MR2 or MR Spider?
MR2.
Okay.
It's the same, basically the same shit, right? Z3. I think Z3 is a good, because he's asking for roadsters. Mr. Two's have
so
never
I don't
done
think I don't think an MR2 is a roadster.
They make an MR2 Spider.
It's an MR Spider.
No, that's MR2.
It's
MR2.
It's a Targa. MR2 is a Targa.
But they make a convertible version.
And then the MR Spider was the roadster.
No, MR2 never, Spider. Looking at it right now.
What do you want to bet?
Looking at it right now.
What do you want to bet?
I'm looking at it right now.
What are you looking at? MR Spider.
No, MR2 Spider. I don't know. If I search for Mr. Spider, it wants to correct to MR2 Spider.
And you're looking at it. Take a picture and text it to me.
All right. I will. What car are you thinking of? You're thinking of the wrong car.
MR Spider, the like 2000s. Fucking like little tiny thing with the convertible roof. My buddy's dad had one and we drove that shit to Vegas on like a bonsai road trip. We left LA at like 6 in the morning, got to Vegas at 9 a.m. And on the way back, we fucking, all right, you sent me a picture. What is this? What is this?
It says,
What
did
is
you
this?
mean MR2 spider?
That's an MR spider. Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
MR2 spider.
It's not a thing. It's an MR spider.
I've literally never heard it called an MR spider.
Even if we're arguing about the name, it's the same car. We're talking about the same car. This,
Okay.
I think it's called MR Spider.
You know what? I
Anyway,
think it's called an MR spider, like in Japan. You
maybe.
fucking JDM
That's totally me. I'm
fool.
the fucking JDM fucking enthusiast. All right. Anyway, we're talking about the same car. Okay.
All right. But I would take the BMW.
Yeah, me as well.
Right. That's the point.
Yeah. Because I only that
John
Vegas road
Bradley
trip
says, tell us
left
about the new
a
show. Looks great. Thank you. And I
not a
did.
pleasant memory.
Dangerous
We
M3.
stopped
How's
at
learning to play the
Tommy's
guitar coming along? It's
and
coming along well. I've hit this
middle of
pothole.
summer, windows up, and fucking my homeboy fucking farted for like the last 70 miles of the trip.
Oh, and the MR
Window
spider.
windows up, yeah, fucking dead of summer, and it was the most miserable passenger experience I've ever had.
He farted so bad he knocked the two badge off the back.
That's exactly what happened.
Dangerous M3 asks, how's learning to play the guitar coming along? It's going well. I still love doing it. I'm just in this weird area where I need to develop a practice routine, and I'm almost tempted to reach out to actual human instruction to help define that practice routine to like take it to the next level. Because I've like done this, like I've done the beginner climb, and there's a plateau, and I'm in that plateau where I'm just like playing like riffs and tabs, and I'm not learning songs, and I'm not practicing scales, and I know what I need to be doing. So that's my next goal. Real cool, Phillips. What car were you driving in your first burnout on purpose? Oof. That's a good question. Because I, when I was young, I probably would like, oh, you can't dump the clutch, you'll break it. You know, like, shit, I don't even know. I was probably late to the game with that. I will tell you the best, one of the best burnouts I've
Because you
ever done.
started with front drive cars.
My first car was a front drive car. My next two were rear drive.
Yeah.
But they weren't like, you know, I didn't know. I didn't know because I wasn't a mega car enthusiast growing up, and it grew into it later. But I will say the best burnout I ever did that surprised the shit out of me was in the Lexus LS six, what was it, like the LS 600 HL. It was like the long wheelbase hybrid or some weird shit. And
Really?
you could just sit there and brake stand that motherfucker. Cause I think the gas portion was like a 5 liter V8 still. So you could turn off traction control and you could just sit there and just, and then leave the biggest stripes ever. Cause I think it had a limited slip diff, you know, like I had a video of it years ago too, which is probably long gone, but I remember getting out of the car. I'm like, that motherfucker, holy shit. It's been so long. I don't know what my first burnout was. Do you know what your first burnout was?
Oh yeah, 100%. It was my first car, my 93 Mustang 5 liter GT convertible, and it was the first day driving by myself, and I just terrorized the neighborhood around my high school, and like I was in the parking lot and I did a burnout out of my parking spot, like a brake stand burnout out of the parking spot out onto the street. I went
Yep.
like so I was a sophomore then, and like the seniors had their own parking lot on the other side of
Okay.
campus. Everybody else had a lot like closer to the school. The senior lot was basically surrounding the gym and the stadium and shit. And if you played sports, like I was running track then, if you played sports, it was customary to basically drive your car from the, underclass lot over to the senior lot once everybody left the senior lot, at the end of
Sure.
the school day. So I did that, and I did fucking burnout from every single. I mean, it was an automatic 205 horsepower Mustang. It would not do a burnout unless you made it do a burnout.
Right.
So brake stand every fucking stoplight, just terrorizing the neighborhood. I get to the parking lot, and like there's bunch of like my friends there, and I'm trying to show off, and I do a burnout in reverse, and fucking I'm rocking back and forth. I'm just fucking just screeching the tires like crazy. There's no tire smoke. Like thing
Right.
makes no power. I'm just
Right.
like just being that dude. And after practice, our campus police or security came up to us. His name was Terry, and like he and my grandfather were cool. Like my grandfather would stop like after dropping me
Right.
off and like talk to Terry,
Right.
and Terry came up to me. He's like, "Hey man, got a
Got the
lot of
show.
complaints about your driving." Like, fuck, really? I'm like, I'm in a bubble. I think nobody's paying any attention to me. Nobody can hear anything. And he was just like, I had three separate complaints about you doing burnouts. He was like, try not to do that anymore, okay? And I'm like, yes,
I'm
sir.
sorry, Terry.
You got it. You got it. So I took it pretty easy, but that was only because I scared the shit out of myself that same day, like in that drive to the other parking lot. Fucking yank the wheel. I'm making a left turn. I yank the wheel all the way, stand on it. I'm doing my best, fucking Bo Darvill or the Bandit impression, trying to slide around a corner and like totally get crossed up. And like, I'm just on the wrong side of the road. There's a dump truck coming at me, and I don't know how I missed it, but I barely like escaped getting mowed over by this dump truck. And then I was like, all right, I'm good on this shit. Like, I need to chill the fuck out. Like, Terry's talk and that experience like scared the shit out of me and like made me realize like you don't know what the fuck you're doing. Like you need
Yeah,
to take it easy.
bring it down.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Canadian MR2 V6 asks, Canadian MR V6 asks, if you and Ron could be remade as Transformers characters, what would your robot form be? It's a great question. I know. I feel like Ron's answer is a Fox Body Mustang
Sure.
or a Lincoln Continental. You could go either way.
Yeah, but I would definitely choose Fox Body. It's like
I was,
of the era.
yeah. Because in the new one, there's a what is it, 930, and it's voiced by like Pete Davidson. Yeah, Mirage, the Porsche.
I'm definitely not keeping up. I had no idea that Pete Davidson was in the first version.
So it's not out yet. I think it's still coming out.
Oh, okay.
I
Still.
would pick a vehicle that is like okay at a lot of things, but like great at nothing, because that would be me.
You're
Like great at
Montero?
nothing. That's it's on the list. The Montero is actually really good at off-road though. So I think
What
that
about
does.
a what about an Isuzu Viacross?
It's gotta be like, I gotta be like the melted Taurus wagon or something, like the rounded one.
There was that. So there was that generation of Taurus had the SHO with the Yamaha developed V8.
Yeah,
It
but
was
not
like
as a
a
wagon, right?
not as a wagon, but that would be cool if they ever made that as a wagon with that
Yeah.
motor stuffed in there.
All right. Yeah. Maybe that. If there could do be like the Yamaha, I thought it was a Yamaha 6.
There was the six in the first two generations of SHO, and
And
then
then when V8
that round fucking jelly bean
got the 8.
SHO had a V8. It was
Oh, so the Conan O'Brien
yeah,
car has the
it was
6.
six cylinder, but the eight was still transverse mounted
Oh.
and front drive, I think.
Wow.
Well, I know it was front drive, yeah.
Yeah, right, of
But it
course.
was still Yamaha developed V8, which is such a weird deal. I think it was like a 3.5 liter fucking V8.
So that car is basically the first LFA.
Okay.
Yeah,
Yeah,
hot take. Hot take.
I got a wild hair up my ass a few years ago, and I was like, oh, let me find one of those V8s to swap into something, right? And like, eBay and any search, like I searched high and low, and I came up with like two motors, and they were just dropouts, and like, there's no like aftermarket support. Nobody ever glommed onto them. I was like, yeah, this is a great, platform to build upon and like build a performance version of. It's just like
Yeah.
Yamaha rang everything they could out of this. It is what it is. If you need a replacement motor, here it is. It's got 65,000 miles, and there was only like two. Like they're
Wow.
just so rare. But I was like, man, like it'd be cool to stuff that in something front drive and like unsuspecting. But
Yeah, makes me want it more, to be honest. Mystic Negro, he says Pikes is better than Le Mans because a bunch of nerds can win with no factory packing. Agree? I
That's
know
true.
he's
That's
like
true. Okay.
super anti-Lamar. I love endurance racing. I think endurance racing is the shit, but I also think
I think they're the best looking, best sounding, most competitive cars. I mean, the fact that, you know, in most endurance races, like, you know, we're not, the field is not separated by laps, but by seconds, like, that's fucking incredible. Like, to me, that's, obviously there's parity in the field and the rules, but, you know, that's wild that you can have, you know, cars that are V6 turbo powered versus, you know, V10, V8, like, you know, all these different power plants, and they've figured out a formula to make them all very competitive, and, you know, nobody runs away with it like you know, other series. I love endurance racing. I love sports car racing. It's my favorite.
I do appreciate his point, though, that, like, someone without a bunch of money can show up at Pikes Peak, though, and do an amazing thing.
Sure,
I get it. I love that. And I get your arguments against Le Mans, and I saw your post during Le Mans.
Yeah.
But
we bantered a bit, so I felt like that was
okay.
I still prefer,
only because I've been there and saw it in person, the Nürburgring to Le Mans. But endurance racing is the shit. Mm-hmm. And last question, Kevin Clary asks, all-time GM blunder/oversight with the Blazer brand in light of runaway Bronco sales. I mean, yeah, it's pretty high up there.
They missed the boat.
Not only could they not see that, like, overlanding and camping has never been more popular and is a multi-billion-dollar business, and everybody's literally, even GM, literally making more and more aggressive off-road trucks. I literally have the new Colorado Trail Boss outside.
I was just going to say, like, that's a pretty good, like, platform, but again, like an SUV, like a Wrangler or a Bronco, like, would have satiated the masses. That would have been a home run.
They fucked up. Cause they didn't go the other direction and make, like, a super sporty street version, which could have been cool. But they just, like, oh, Blazer SS, it's got different wheels and a badge. You're like, okay, go. And then let's do the Trailblazer, which is bleh.
That's like mid 90s, early 2000s GM marketing bullshit at its fucking best. Like,
And oddly, the only Blazer I care about now is I want to try that EV Blazer, because that's the only one that looks remotely interesting. And it's still not out yet, so I don't know what to tell you. But yes, they fucked up. Oh, big time. They could be, like, cranking production while Bronco's, like, drowning in the lack of supply, you know, like,
right.
Meanwhile, Juice is over here like, okay, we're just going to still do our thing.
But is that their biggest marketing blunder ever?
No, I'm or sure.
Product/marketing.
They took a lot of shit. I did a video for Auto Trader where I talked about how it's insane that they're going to pull CarPlay and Android Auto for their own in-house developed one,
right,
on their electric vehicles going forward. And the car, like,
normally, but who's that in conjunction with? There's a reason why.
No, they're doing it. Well, the reason why they're doing it, the real reason, they're saying they're doing it for X reason.
Right.
The real reason is so that they can upsell you on features on a monthly basis down the road.
Okay.
I posted a video of it, and a normal Auto Trader video, say it'll get like 30 comments, 40 comments. This video with fewer views than normal had like 200 comments, and everyone was like, fuck GM. I was going to buy this car. Now I'm not. It was like, oh shit, lightning rod. Whoa.
Right.
So it was kind of funny though.
I don't know. Maybe I'm an outlier and a weirdo, but, like, I don't care about CarPlay. Like, CarPlay has been so cumbersome and annoying, and, like, every vehicle that I've used it in, that I would rather not. Honestly, it's not even.
I know people that
base their entire purchase decision on CarPlay and wireless CarPlay, and I just cannot give a shit less. Like, I'm like, I use my phone for everything, but, you know, I just need it to play via Bluetooth. Like, I don't need everything interfacing through the touchscreen or whatever. Like, honestly, it's just been an annoyance to me. I'd rather not.
I go in and out of so many cars these days, where when CarPlay first came around, I was like, and back when it was like more plugged in and not wired, I'd be like, I don't get the hype. I need CarPlay. I'm like, no, fuck that.
Right.
And now it's weird to me if I get in a car that, if it doesn't have it, That's super weird because almost everything has it nowadays. Sure. But if it's not wireless, I'm like, what the fuck is this piece of shit? Which is funny. Hyundai Kia, they really fucked up when they chose their infotainment system. They can do wireless on their smaller screens, but the bigger upgraded system has to be wired because it's a software choice. And they're like waiting for that mid-cycle refresh to fix that problem.
For me, it's more important, like it's more desirable, I should say, to have a place for my phone, whether it's a charging mat or not, but just somewhere where I can put my phone, I can access it easily, I can see the screen if I want to. Like, I would rather have easy access to my phone than have my phone interface through the car's multimedia system and screen. Like, a Bluetooth connection is good enough for me.
Like, I hate used to CarPlay. Technically, you can see your phone.
Yeah, I know, but like it's not the same for me. Like, one thing is, I don't want everybody in my fucking car seeing everything that pops up on my fucking screen.
Right.
That's one thing. But Ron, also, like,
you received a text from Carla.
Stop. Whatever you're about to do, just stop.
I'm using fake names.
I'm just saying, like,
the images, titties.
My God. Photo description. Stop.
Dude. That'd be amazing if it could describe the photo. Oh my God, I need to do a plug-in for Apple CarPlay where we describe like the text photo. Like, you received a text from this person. It's a meme of the most offensive shit you've ever heard. And everybody in your car's like,
oh my God, I hate you. It's not even what I'm talking about. I'm just saying, like, I don't want everything that comes through my phone to be force fed through the multimedia system. Like, you know, when I drive, I want to be somewhat disconnected from my phone. Like, unless I'm like expecting something and then I can turn on notifications and like, it'll chime and I can like, oh, okay. Like, I'm expecting an email or I'm expecting a response to a text. Like, hey, do you need something? Like, while I'm on my way somewhere, like then I do want to be notified. But other than that, like, I want to be detached from communication. Like, I just want to drive and enjoy it and listen to my music and not, you know, have constant chiming or fucking notifications popping up.
You.
Like,
I hear you.
I mean, maybe there's a way to turn that off in CarPlay, but like, I don't have enough experience or patience to have figured that out.
I gotcha.
That's my deal.
No, I hear you. When I'm in the car, it's if I'm on like a really long drive, I'll pop on a couple podcasts because it just really helps eat up the miles. But otherwise, it's music. I need music.
Exactly. And I don't want that shit interrupted.
Like when I had to drive to Lemons, which we didn't even cover on this episode.
Oh, man, yeah. We got to get to that.
Save that for the next one. That was almost catastrophic 20 minutes into the drive. And then we didn't even talk about the two new. That's actually, we'll save it. We can do a whole episode on both Lemons cars and because shit was great. One of the cars won an award. Organizer's choice, 2-car team now. So shit was good. But otherwise, that's all I got this week. There we go. I'm happy we got one of these out.
I have a couple questions and I haven't looked at them yet, so they could be completely.
Oh, shoot them up.
But I reposted your questions request on Instagram today. And let's see what we got. RhinoDino68 asks, how do you get into wheel design?
Let me answer that one. No, I'm just kidding.
Let me take this one. I'll defer to the expert. My path was unconventional, and I've covered this in a previous episode. Try and find the episode. I think it's titled "Ron Designed the Honda Element" because I think that's when I detailed like the weird circumstances that led to me quitting architecture school and basically pursuing a career in the aftermarket. And I'll say this, like what I've realized is that a lot of people my age that are in the automotive aftermarket, we all ended up there by default, not by design. Like we found a path there because it was something that interested us, but we didn't know coming out of high school that it was, that was a career path. It was like, we didn't know that you could make X amount of dollars designing wheels, designing body kits, designing lights, you know, performance parts, like that, those resources and that like academic experience like was just not obvious. Like this was right around the dawn of the internet, so we didn't know. But nowadays, like if you're, I don't know how old you are, or like if you're, school age or what, but if for those people that are school age that want like to get involved in the automotive aftermarket or wheels specifically, I'd advise you to go to, an art school for product design, for industrial design, and that'll open the doors for you to design all sorts of products, and wheels is like being one of the easiest to design because you have, parameters that you have to design within that are basically industry standard and like you can't deviate from, and then you can, put your own twist on it and your own spin on it. But it's the envelope for wheel design is pretty much established, and it's fun, man. Like I, we've got new designers on my team, for example, that are like fresh out of college, fresh out of art center, and I'm inspired every day by them and the stuff that they come up with, and it's amazing to me, like their enthusiasm and their ingenuity in coming up with new designs because they don't know the rules yet. So they're just like, oh, like I want to do this. And it's like, well, fuck, that's impossible. But maybe it's not. Like if we make a couple tweaks here and there, like, fuck, like you could make something out of this. And that's like way cooler than something that an old head like me would have come up with. So that's,
I'm
go
chuckling
ahead.
to my I'm chuckling to myself over here, because when you said like you could put your own twist on things and do this and that, and I was like thinking of like wheels that no one's done. And this is how messed up my head is. I just
Know.
realized no one's ever done a wheel that looks like a butthole. Oh my God. And I couldn't get the thought of it out of my head. So
A
like,
balloon nut? You know what a
yeah,
balloon
balloon
nut
knot. Someone needs to do a balloon knot wheel, like a set of Ronal balloon knots.
is? We could, I listen, we could do a balloon nut print on a rotiform aerodisc
I
and
just need like the CAD drawing just to see what it would look like, just so I can laugh. And I don't need it to be real, but that shit would be really
All
funny.
right.
And don't worry, it's not gonna be the title of this episode. I already titled it Ron Hates CarPlay.
Please, okay, good.
Ron loves
No,
butthole
stop! Dude, Jesus Christ. Oh my God, I'm scared to read the next question.
No, please, yeah, you
I've not looked at these, and like this is from one of my best friends, Adam Borba, who's my fraternity brother, and he is not a car guy at all, so I anticipate this is going to be one of the silliest questions ever. Let's
awesome.
see. What paint? This motherfucker. What paint is the fastest color? Also, can you tell the
Oh,
difference between red and green? He knows I'm colorblind, obviously, and it's
that's
been
funny.
many a joke at my expense. But the fastest color is red.
Right. Everyone knows that.
Yeah. I am Sam. Oh, Jesus Christ! All right, I'm not doing this anymore. This is it. This is it. I'm not taking any questions anymore. I am Sam Dobbins. Ask. How big is it? So
Jeez, Sam.
it's perfect size, you motherfucker.
Wow.
Fuck
Did you
you.
have any more questions?
Follow up?
Yeah, no. Refresh, see if you have any new questions.
Oh God damn it. Clean Collective, my buddy Eric Lee, he asked, time you spent money in a car and it was a complete waste. Every single one of them. Like, have
Every
you
single one. Every
ever?
single one.
The one exception is my Tahoe, which I bought and used for 3 years and sold for a profit.
The
That's
Jag for
the
me,
that's that's yeah.
which doesn't make sense.
That's the ex exactly. That's the exception to the rule. Every other fucking dollar I've ever spent on a car has been a complete
If
fucking
I sold
waste.
my Montero, I would lose so much money.
Right. Yeah. Mustang, forget about it. That's why I'll never. Oh, Jesus Christ, you motherfucker. I'm skipping another question because it's also
My God, I'm laughing too hard. Oh.
Can you make a butthole wheel? Universe Jeff. Just for you, buddy. Just for you.
You just asked that question out loud, but I was mid-sip. I was just spitting that shit all over everything electronic I own in front of me.
It's your
Oh,
fault. I have no sympathy.
woo, I can't. That That was good shit. I wish I could change the title to Butthole Wheels, but we'll save that.
You
for
cannot.
Title.
You absolutely cannot.
And the bad thing is we can't make it a t-shirt either.
No.
You know what?
But I feel like we could, can print.
What if we did like a subtle butthole wheel? It's like how Chevy did dick wheels on the last gen Colorado. They don't think anybody okay. knows.
I haven't seen that, but there was definitely a wheel at one of my former employers that the spokes created a negative space window that was very phallic. And the first time that I like saw that wheel, I was just like, who designed this wheel? And I was just like, did you do that on purpose? And they're like, what? And I was like, it's a bunch of dicks. And they're like, what? What are you saying? No, it's like, you know, it's a split 10 spoke or whatever. And I'm like, no, look at the windows. And they're like, oh my God. And so
it's a gang of cock.
Yeah, they immediately redesigned it, but like they had like debuted it on this guy's like a customer's Rolls Royce, and he was so proud of it. And I was just like, that man got dicks on his fucking wheels.
He's got dicks at every corner, baby. 22 inches worth of dick
rolling on dicks,
rolling on.
Do not make that the title either, asshole.
That's such a better title.
Do not.
This is episode 365. Ron hates CarPlay. Thank you all for listening. Hopefully we'll be back next week.